Hey everybody, welcome to TikTok, the podcast where we read and rate books recommended by TikTok. I'm Karina.
I'm Killian.
I'm Emily.
And this week we read A Court of Sugar and Spice, a Nutcracker Romance Retelling by Rebecca F. Kenny. Louisa and Clara.
Oh no.
Louisa and Clara are sisters in their early 20s and they're expecting an inheritance, but in order to receive it, they have to move in with their godfather, their father's best friend, Drosselmeyer, who is an inventor. And he has invented all sorts of things, such as these creepy wooden automatons that serve him, and a little nutcracker guy. Well, Louisa breaks a little part of the nutcracker's arm, and in order to keep a good relationship going with Drosselmeyer, fixes it. But oops, that splinter makes her bleed a little, gets in the wound, and he magically comes to life. Turns out, Drosselmeyer has cursed the Nutcracker and a bunch of other fae who are the wooden automatons, and he's a bad guy. So Louisa and Clara have to follow him to Fairy, which is where they live, through a portal, and they meet Phineas, who's the Sugar Plum Fairy. And, oh God, what happens? Okay, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They have to get the Nutcracker to some pool, the unending pool, to end his curse, get his powers back, and defeat the Rat King, who is trying to take over the Nutcracker's well-deserved
nuts.
Throne. Yeah, his nuts. Yep, he's trying to take over his nuts. No. Anyway, and then they fuck. Cheers to that, bro.
Lots of beautiful fucking. Yeah, this was a perfect little nugget of smut.
Yes.
Fairly well written, semblance of a plot.
Yeah.
And good fucking.
Yep.
But before we get too much further into our discussion of the book, if it sounds like something you want to read and have not yet read, be forewarned that our podcast is full of spoilers. If you've read it, we would love to hear from you. Email us at dicktalkthepodcast@gmail.com or find us on our shitpost land at Instagram or on TikTok at dicktalkpod, DIKTOKPOD.
Favorite trope? I liked the physical manifestation of love defeating evil with her whip.
Oh, oh nice.
Gets me every time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you love someone enough, it turns into a weapon.
Weaponize your love.
I think denial, in a way. I just really respected that sometimes the seduction didn't work.
Yeah, you mean between
Louisa and the Nutcracker?
Yeah, Louisa and
Prince
Lear.
Lear, yes.
Yeah, boy.
Boy,
he
didn't
was
it.
Something.
She tried so hard.
Yeah.
No.
She eventually won.
Yeah.
He was such a jerk.
He was such a jerk.
There was definitely also some adversaries to lovers here. Which I always have a soft spot for.
Yeah, there was definitely enemies to lovers, but I didn't like their relationship as much as I liked Clara and Finn's.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
I guess, like, an experience difference with Clara and Finn, where he's, like, total man whore, and she's not a virgin, but she's only had sex once just to see what it was like.
Yeah.
But she also masturbated in her closet a lot, you know.
But I like how the straight-laced one ended up with the goofy whore.
Yeah.
Yes. And then the quote-unquote sluttier sister had to like actually work for it.
Yeah.
I
to
really
get with
like
the super
that.
Straight-laced prince.
Yeah, and ends up being the queen. Yeah, like
yeah.
Love it.
Yes.
Yep. I liked that it was just very non-judgmental about sex and sexual experience.
Lear was judgmental.
Yes.
About it.
But the book itself was not.
Right. Yeah.
It was an escape. We had a bad childhood. What do you want?
It was really to make sure that he didn't go for her.
He's so scared of his feelings.
He's so scared.
His fifis.
Oh, he could never admit them.
Oh, God.
And then when he does, she's like, I can't do this right now. I thought we were just going to have sex. Right. Like, if I focus on it, he dies, so.
Right. Yeah, I didn't think I was going to fall in love. I just wanted to fuck. When he finally tells her how he actually feels, that was rough.
After having hid it for so long?
Yeah. And for good reason, apparently.
Apparently.
The timing of all of that was very good because she writes tension well. Mm-hmm. And the tension of them sneaking across the tower in disguise and all that stuff, like the bridge.
It was good.
Yeah. It was very good.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those books where I was like, yes, I'm here for the smut, but the plot is also very enjoyable.
I would have enjoyed this book without the smut as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Glad it has smut.
Yeah, I'm glad there is fucking.
Always glad there's fucking.
That's cool. It's like, it bills itself as a Nutcracker retelling, but like, this has nothing to do with the Nutcracker.
The Sugar Plum Fairies, the rats, Rat King. Yeah, Rat King.
I mean, like, it pulls in those elements.
Isn't Drosselmeyer?
Yeah.
It sounds familiar. I'm pretty sure he's in the Nutcracker.
Maybe it's just that there's so much more fucking than the original.
Right. Yeah. A lot less ballet, though.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
Conspicuously less dancing.
Well, we have certainly seen what book dancing looks like, and I think that we can all be appreciative.
I agree. Huh? If I had to read about pirouettes and grand jetés, I probably would not have liked this book very much.
Yeah, I envisioned it because I know that Atlanta Ballet, they start rehearsing Nutcracker in July. So everyone who works on that show listens to the Nutcracker over and over and over again from July to December.
That's a long season.
Yeah. Well, that's just when they start rehearsing it. And so I was like, if I had to listen to Nutcracker that much, I bet I would get every reference in this book.
Yeah.
But since I've seen it a few times.
Yeah. That's true. I don't think I've seen it since I was like 10.
I mean, it is a show of bangers. True. I love the Nutcracker.
Did you listen to the playlist at the beginning of the book?
I actually did not get to it. I know. Yes, there is a playlist, and usually I do love a playlist, so I'm just going to like...
listen to it now.
Yeah, I'm going to scoot on back there right now.
Oh man, it is holiday season, so we should...
Yeah, true.
I'm gonna have to listen to it tomorrow.
But it's like mostly songs from the Nutcracker, or like about half are songs from Nutcracker by various orchestras and artists. Lindsey Stirling.
Famous violinist,
very cool gal, and then just like a couple also just Christmas songs. Yeah, it was just kind of boring. Like, I don't know, like, I haven't listened to it, but
it wasn't whiny emo.
Yeah, it wasn't whiny emo.
You should maybe show a little gratitude, actually.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, you know what, there is Snow on the Beach. I haven't heard it, but it is Taylor Swift and Lana Del Rey, so like that is...
I know it well.
Oh, okay. Can you tell us good? About it?
It's my favorite song on that album. Huh? It's very visual, focused on imagery.
What era of Taylor Swift is it?
2020, specifically. It was her second album in 2020.
Which one is that?
Before she started re-recording? I don't know.
1989?
I don't know.
Oh, honey.
No. No, I don't know. I have no idea.
It's okay. My knowledge is about where yours
is. I'm the worst white girl.
So the chorus is like snow on the beach, weird but fucking beautiful.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. And honestly, I do like Lana Del Rey.
You don't hear her at all.
A word? Okay, cool.
You don't hear Lana Del Rey or Taylor Swift?
Lana Del Rey. I think that she helped produce or like, maybe she's got background vocals. I don't know. You don't really hear that much. Mm-hmm. But I like that song so much that line was in my dating profile.
Nice. Oh.
Just to see if anyone who hit me up, mainly guys, if they knew Taylor Swift, they tried to make a reference. Nobody. One person did try to make, he's like, when the last time you saw snow on the beach? And I was like, you're an idiot. That's the point.
That was an earnest thing that I said. I made it up myself, and I said it in a normal way. Yeah.
But nobody passed the T-Swift test.
It does not have the Mannheim Steamroller.
Yeah.
Sad times. Or Trans-Siberian Orchestra. None of that. So it doesn't quite fuck for me.
Have you guys ever seen Mannheim Steamroller live?
No.
But I have seen Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
You telling me this whole Siberian Orchestra is trans?
I would love to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Yeah. They play in bigger venues than anyone I've ever worked with.
They got some pyrotechnics, it was from what I've heard.
In D.C. Yeah, it was last Christmas. I was like, how did I go to that? It's because Adam stayed home with Rowan.
That's how. For Mannheim Steamroller, they have this beautiful video wall, and they play like Christmas commercials from the 90s. Like, it's like the worst graphics you've ever seen on the most beautiful video wall. Like, I remember helping put up the video wall and then sitting in my booth and being like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, I'm more of a Trans-Siberian Orchestra girl myself.
Me too. I don't think I'd even heard of Mannheim Steamroller till I worked them.
They've got a SiriusXM channel that is always good this time of year.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I keep them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've only heard either of their Christmas music.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've done anything else. Anyway, so this fucking book.
it's right. not fucking. I mean, it.
We digress.
It is a fucking
book.
Yeah.
This great fucking book.
Yeah, they fucked more in this book than the other two, I'd say.
Okay, I know sometimes asking about, like, what was your favorite sex scene, that can be stale because it's, like, the first time they fucked. But I feel like that's a legit question for this one. Did y'all have a favorite sex scene in this book?
Oh, sheesh.
I think my favorite was when Finn hunts Claire down in the woods and their planned primal. It was real good.
It was real good.
Yeah, I'm not usually for primal, but I like that one.
I like a good chase scene, but it has to be structured perfectly like this.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, if it's just like, what was the monster book that we read where he had just gone through the trauma of watching her die and she's like, chase me.
Oh, where I was like, knows.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I liked the one. So Clara is a painter, and when she gets like in the mode, she really just like doesn't eat or care of herself or anything. And at one point, Finn forces her to sit on his lap.
Ah, that was my pick too.
And eat and be fucking him. And she tries to like fuck him more, and he's like, eh. You may not come until you've eaten more of your dinner. Stand up for a moment and take another bite. And I loved it.
Yep. It was good.
This time when I sit down, I voice a shrill gasp that's a half moan. I can feel him so much better now. I shift rolling against the hard ridges of his cock. If I can just move down like this a few more times. But his hands clasp my hips, stilling the motion. No, naughty girl, he says. And I am going to read it like this. You may not come until you've eaten some more of your dinner. Stand up for a moment and take another bite. I lift off him briefly, placing a forkful of greens in my mouth. When I lower myself toward his lap again, I encounter the hot, silky head of his bare cock, jutting upward, pressing against my pussy lips.
Now that is a way to smile while eating some salad.
Right in front of my salad, really?
Oh, there's a joke about ranch dressing in there, but...
He got up in her hidden valley. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. And then, like, in that scene, she, like, stands up again and she fucking queefs. That's the first time we've ever... Or that I've seen a queef in one of these books.
Yep.
And
first I can
she's,
recall.
Like, embarrassed. And he laughs and he's like, don't be shy, darling. I love it. Give me every crude, naughty, sloppy, wicked sound from your beautiful body. And I was like, fuck you.
Also, like, he's the one pushing air into you, so.
Right, yeah, it's his fault.
It's on him.
And also, that means he's just, like, filling you up with that good dick.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. But it is a little embarrassing. But also, it should be. Yeah, what was your favorite, Emily?
Dinner scene.
Yes, okay. I mean, I do
but
have...
But none of us picked a Louisa scene, that's which true. Is interesting.
Finn is so much fucking fun.
I know, yeah. And Lear is just like...
I'm stoic.
Oh, my God. The fact that her fucking safe word
oh, my God.
Drosselmeyer.
And then he's like, let's hope you don't have to use it.
Yeah,
right.
That's a real effective turn off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drosselmeyer, I whisper, and he flinches, and I just wrote, ew.
Yeah.
I think I wrote that a few times in this book. Like when they did bondage with black licorice.
Ew.
I'm going to use this peppermint stick to make you come, he whispers. I'm going to put it on your pretty clit.
Wouldn't that hurt?
I think it would burn a little, right?
I think a little burn.
Uh-huh. Maybe a little burn, but also didn't he suck it until it was sharp?
Yeah, it was pointy. And he like pokes her.
Pointy and
also
spicy.
Sticky.
Yeah.
It's just
he's the sugar plum fairy.
Like,
that much is a given. It's going to
like,
be sticky.
What is it, vibrating?
If only.
Like, oh, I'm going to put it on your clit and you're going to come.
He's going to poke it.
He's just got a really shaky wrist.
I'm thinking of that short story in the C.M. Nescosta Krampus book. There arose such a clatter where Krampus puts the peppermint stick in her vagina and she's like, gave a quick prayer for my
urethra.
Uh-huh.
My
biome.
My biome.
Uh-huh.
Jesus.
Yep.
But she's like, I like the burn.
Ooh.
Girl, whatever you're into. Maybe he's experimenting. He's like, does she like a little bit of pain?
I mean, she likes a little bit of a chase and a little bit of pain in that sense.
Ooh, can we talk about why the Sugar Plum Fairy is called that?
Yes!
It's because his cum tastes different every time. like a sugar plum.
So do sugar plums.
Does.
Yes. It's covered.
Yeah.
Nowadays, people call me sugar plum because I have the same delightful quality as these fruits. I'm deliciously flavored, and I taste different every time. You mean your personality? No. His lashes lower, hooding his eyes. I'm not talking about my personality. I'm talking about my cum.
I was like, you gotta be really direct with mortals.
You do.
Apparently.
They don't get it.
But yeah, it's sad because everyone takes advantage of him and fucks him only because his cum tastes different.
It is a sensitivity he has.
Yeah.
But she's in love.
But she's in love.
Also, they have fireflies of different colors.
I know.
Loved it.
I want to go there for that reason alone.
I really loved like the scenery and the world building.
It was beautiful.
In this book.
Yeah. Like one of my highlights has nothing to do with sex. It's just about how pretty it was.
One.
Yeah. Oh, never mind. That highlight has something about holes.
Okay, good.
Wow. Also, when Finn walks in on Louisa naked. And then he's like, whoa, what a beautiful sight. Good luck to you both. And like leaves. I was like, God, I love this dude.
Yeah.
And also when Clara says that she loves him and he goes, only you ever. I was like,
oh, no.
You're going to give up your slutty ways for true love. Finn wears tiny lollipop earrings.
Aww.
That swing in the lobes of his pointed ears as he fucks me.
Yeah.
So cute.
Yeah. So I guess he like hangs out with people who hang out with the Rat King, but he's not
right.
Unseelie. And Clara asks him, so you're not on the Rat King's side then? And he says,
yes.
Fuck no. He has no sense of style for one thing. And for another, no, that's it. That's my only reason. And I was like, it's giving... twink.
Yeah, totally. The fact that he was straight, I was like, huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you know, bi.
Yeah, at least, like...
He seems pan.
Yeah. I was gonna say, attracted to women at the very least.
And then when they meet up with everyone else, Louisa's like, who's your friend? And she's like, he's an asshole. I'm beginning to think all females are. I'm like, all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really did like the orgy party scene. Fucking. Mm-hmm. I just wish it was under less duress.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
I appreciated.
Just once in one of these books, I wish that the orgy was like, I want to be here.
Positive orgy.
And it's not like a weird kidnapping or plot thing.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to attend that orgy.
I would
seem
too.
Great. What was it? A pool of cheese?
Yes.
And
hell
chocolate.
Yes.
The pool of cheese was really just to entice the Rat King. And once he got in it, I'm no longer interested.
No.
The body horror of the Rat King. Especially because I don't remember if I read this before or after we watched that movie at the theater.
Oh. Ooh.
Wait, which movie?
What movie did we watch at the theater,
Dead
Killian?
Alive.
Oh.
Dead Alive.
Oh, right.
Which had a lot of body horror.
I thought you meant the movie theater.
Oh, no.
I can read the description of the Rat King.
Okay, go.
I expected something horrible, but at the sight of him, bile creeps up the back of my throat. He has one large head, the head of an immense rat, and it's no mask. The rolling of his red eyes and the champ of his long, sharp teeth are unmistakably real. There's a spiked crown of white bone protruding from the top of his head, as if his skull grew into that shape at will. He's naked, except for a stained red loincloth that conceals an immense and terrifying bulge between his thighs. His thick torso is human-looking, but gray-skinned, coated with coarse, pale hair along the chest. His legs are half-human, ending in paws rimmed with sharp nails. His arms are furred like a rat's, but structured like a human's. He holds a scepter of white bone in one paw. This is where it gets bad. The most terrifying part of him is the bodies of smaller rats that have been magically fused with his own. They're clearly not part of his consciousness. They twitch and writhe and squeal faintly as if they're trying to get away. But they are definitely built into him, extruding from the muscle and skin of his stomach, his pectorals, his thighs, his arms, even his calves! Yeah. Six of the smaller rat's heads form a sickening, ever-shifting collar around his neck.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That was the worst part.
Yep, that's bad.
And then he would, like, reach to touch something and, like, a little rat would be like...
He gross. So imagine that wanting to fuck you. Thanks.
Especially because she was like, he's too big. I think he might break me.
Mm-hmm.
And not in the way that we usually see in these books.
Not like he's squeezing my nub.
My lovely lady. So there is one thing that the Rat King says that made me laugh a little bit. At the big orgy party, he says, tonight we will all partake of my collection of fuck flesh. And there's just something about having your harem described as fuck flesh. That's a word. That is a word that is horrifying and also kind of funny.
Oh, wait, I do have this one passage that I thought was very funny. Of all the places I thought I would end up after Papa's death, I never imagined I'd be a caged concubine in the throne room of the Rat King of Unseelie, while my fairy lover attempts to charm the Court of Dread long enough to claim me and smuggle me out of an underground lair. Girl, if I had a nickel,
I'd have one damn nickel.
Which is still too many.
That attempt at escape was intense.
Mm-hmm. That was the orgy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was heartbreaking when that spider thing or whatever betrayed him.
Yes.
I know.
How dare she?
So, when do we think this was?
Tolkien times. I don't fucking know, man.
I don't know. It seems a little steampunk to me.
Back home, it was the fashion to remove body hair. Oh.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. So, like, what, after World War... Was that one or two where they really started pushing it?
I think it was two.
Okay.
I remember because when I read Outlander, it was still not quite common practice. So, yeah, 50s.
But also, they have hairless armpits in Game of Thrones, don't they? Like,
nah.
But they don't talk about it.
Okay.
They pretend it's natural.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't really take that to mean, like, a specific time because it's always inaccurate. So, like...
Yeah.
Like, it could be the apocalypse and they'd have shaven armpits.
But they wouldn't mention it. They would say they're naturally hairless.
Right, yeah. We evolved. Our hair stopped growing under there because we ran out of razors to shave them. So,
uh-huh.
It just evolved away.
Only the hairless survived because... Nobody else wanted to fuck the.
Yeah, survival of the
smoothest.
I just said, why?
To give it a time period.
No.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think that's anachronistic.
She really wanted to establish that fairies don't have body hair. I think it's like Ice Planet barbarians not having testicles. Mm. Like, this is a really important thing to her. She's really tired of giving blowjobs and having pubes. Like here.
When does that ever happen in a book?
In her real life.
I know. Mm-hmm. It needs to happen in one of these books.
When you're like,
to have pubes up your nose?
I mean, just like have one stray one in your mouth. Some realism.
Yeah. I will be thrilled to see that happen in one of these books we read.
I'm sure. Well, Karina's going to have to write it, so.
Negotiating some period sex.
Yes.
A little bit of pubes.
Mm-hmm.
God. Fucking Lear trying not to...
The shit that he says
to Louisa, who is trying to get him to fuck.
I don't have sex with dirty mouth human sluts.
Yeah.
I only sleep with people I care about, and you will never be one of them.
Lies. He already cared so much.
Yeah, but I would shitty shitter. Absolutely never talk to him again.
No.
No.
That's it. Wait. Yep. Yeah. No, yep. Slut shaming.
Well, you ruined it.
Mm-mm.
So I was Louisa. In my younger days.
Yeah,
so everything that she did that, for maybe a dumber character, I would have been like, ugh. I was just like, oh, girl. Like when she freaks out because he's like, I care about you so much. And she was like,
I didn't want to love you.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I remember that.
But yeah, that part where he was like, you'll never be one of those people. I was just like, Jesus Christ, dude.
You didn't have to come on so strong.
You really didn't.
I mean, especially after keeping her at such rigid arm's length.
And watching her masturbate.
Yeah.
Right. Boy, you could have just left.
But he didn't.
Or like just have owned up to your feelings a little bit. Like, hey, I'm having trouble reconciling the fact that I'm really attracted to you. Or I think I'm starting to have feelings for you. Don't just like be rigid, rigid, rigid and then love dump.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. Talk about manipulation tactics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Although I don't think he views it that way. Like, I think he's being sincere the whole time. Mm-hmm. He's just a fucking idiot.
He's an idiot. Lear does have one line that I appreciated early on when Louise is making sexual references that make him uncomfortable. And he says, "Ah, I see the joke now. How delightful that you can indulge in carnal mockery while I'm suffering." Carnal mockery is a phrase that stuck with me. I delighted in it.
"I'm so cold. I think we should share heat." A long silence. Then, "If we must."
Hey, fuck you.
He wants
Listen,
it.
Listen, he was worried that if he took off his jacket, his arm would be forever fucked up.
No, he just knew he was going to dry hump her if they got in the same sleeping bag. And he did.
Sleep dry humped her.
Oh, wait, no. Didn't she like grind up on him until he came? Is that?
Maybe that was. What's that? Scene. He was a participant.
I thought he was sleep humping.
Okay, yeah. "Sometime in the night, I roused to find him shifting, tilting his hips up forward, his cock rubbing up my stomach. Just once he does it, and then it's still. But he's clearly awake, still painfully aroused." Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. "Dearly dear,
it's him.
I changed my position slightly, grazing the underside of his cock again. A soft moan is issues from him. The quietest, most beautiful male sound. And my pussy comes roaring to life." "Oh, doodly do, I squirm against him, blah, 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 rubbing his cock shamelessly between us." Okay, okay, "I press my soft stomach to his hard abdomen." So, yes, okay, so they're dry humping.
Yeah.
They're both in it now.
Mm-hmm. But he started it.
Mm-hmm. "I'm so wet for him, I'm afraid I'll leave moisture on the saddle when I dismount. But beyond that, I think my heart is wet for him."
I love her trying to piece it together, like, what is this feeling?
Loathing.
"We fight constantly. How is that a wise foundation for a relationship?"
It's not.
"We communicate, we find our differences and discuss them." Bitch, that ain't what you do.
That is some spin.
So he gets her a bath and puts her to bed when they're in the war camp. And then he like goes to strategize with his soldiers who he hasn't seen in God knows how long. And she like starts getting insecure and is like, "What if he doesn't want me anymore because he's around his people again?" And then she gets mad at him. I was like, yeah, I did that. I did that when I was younger. Yep. Do I seem agitated to you? After you left me alone
I'm
here?
I'm fucking angry, you fuck.
And he's like, "I thought you wanted to rest."
I don't know how many times this sentence came up, but okay, so when he is in human real form, it only lasts so long.
Right.
And then he has to suck Louise's blood mm-hmm. in order to remain human. And there was at least one, if not more, instances of the sentence, "He's reverting to nutcracker form." And I'm sorry, but this will never not be funny. Like, just, he's a nutcracker shifter.
Okay.
Were any nuts cracked?
There was one, I think they
just, yeah.
In the party. In the party before they sneak up, because there's the two guys there and they're like, "Oh, it's a nutcracker."
Oh, yeah, yeah, I have that highlighted.
There was definitely some nutting.
"Look at this herb," he says to the man beside him as he waggles the nutcracker's jaw. "Think we can convince Drosselmeyer to alter this one into a doll that sucks cock?" And I just wrote, what?
We're all on the same page here.
Yep. Imagine Lorenin's horror.
Yeah.
They should have. Broaden his horizons a little bit.
Tchaikovsky is jacking off in his grave.
That should have been your rating.
That should have been our rating.
Still could be. Edited in.
Yeah.
I'm interested in the theme of nobody is good or bad in this book.
Hmm.
It's just interesting.
You don't think the Rat King is bad?
Okay, fine. Rat King's bad. I was just thinking more of Drosselmeyer. Yep, he comes true. And he was yeah. like,
I,
his redemption was yeah. a little too easy.
It was. But they say a few times about like, are you going to judge an entire race off of like one or two people? Like, it's like a running theme. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was glad that he got somewhat of a redemption.
Yeah.
Because if he had just like stopped being a character after they went through the portal into fairy, that would have been really fucking stupid.
It was pretty funny that he just turned around and ran.
Right, yeah. He was like, okay, peace out. Oh, I didn't have the weapons or whatever.
It was Clara who was like, you turned around and ran. And he's like, what? I didn't do anything.
At one point when he came back and Clara was just telling him their plan. He's like, he's the enemy. Why are you telling him your step-by-step plan? This is dumb. But then it worked out.
I like that both of these female MCs have undiagnosed ADHD. Appreciate the rep.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. When Drosselmeyer comes back and sees Finn, who's just in ribbons, he's like, I can see the appeal.
I was like, boy down.
Okay, Drosselmeyer.
But also in the beginning, if you remember, Louisa's like, do you think I could seduce him? Uh-huh. And Drosselmeyer walks behind her and is like, how inappropriate.
Yeah.
Seduce whom?
How scandalous.
Yeah, something like
that. I don't know. He seemed a bit more open to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did think there was going to be like a little age gap kind of
thing.
I
thought that's where it was going.
At least a little fling.
I'm glad it wasn't. I preferred their final partners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that is interesting. I do feel like in these books, like, there's not a lot of that, if any, of I'm going to hook up with this one character, but then, like, end up with another one.
Well, no, because, yeah.
Because
just way.
Right.
Oh, word.
I mean, ACOTAR.
Finn
only reveals his name to those he's seen naked twice. So we can revisit our discussion of the Fae giving their names.
Oh, yeah.
And what I think lines they draw.
That no matter what, you have power over someone when you know their name. So theoretically, the Fae would also have power over each other when knowing, which is.
Right.
Yeah. But we as humans mainly stay on this side. So we would only know, don't give your name to the Fae.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'd ever heard the Fae can't lie before this series of books.
I hadn't either, but
it makes sense.
It does make sense.
Because you have to make deals with them.
For mortals to believe that. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But not for it to be true. I feel like I had heard that in other media, but also I have read A Court of Thorns and Roses before. So maybe I'm just remembering it from the last time I read it.
I'm also interested. I don't know if you two have ever heard this theory, but the way that humans interact with Fae is the way that animals interact with us. Yeah, which I find fascinating, right? Because it's like, some of them are nice, some of them are mean. Don't eat their food because it might be poisonous, or you might get enslaved/domesticated. You know, like, it's really every single interaction that humans can have with Fae is an interaction that a wild animal might have with a human.
Yeah, don't walk That's into cool. their circles. That's a trap.
Yep. It's a trap.
And they're all Irish, right?
Yep. Also that.
Yep.
Every human.
Yep.
Human. Period.
2.5/3
Okay.
Of this recording session has some Irish blood. I'm like mostly Scottish.
I'm a little bit also Irish. Scottish. I'm Irish and Scottish, and that's why I hate myself so much.
Yeah.
I'm half, as we know.
I rated this book so good, I didn't even make one D's nuts joke.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, see, my rating was, this cracked my nuts. So I just
did it for you.
Thank entire you, queen. Opposite direction.
Mine was, I'd lick this lollipop.
TikTok stars Karina McGeehan, Killian Ross, and Emily Shirley. It's edited by Karina McGeehan, produced and bartended by Derek Adams, and recorded at Shadow Public Radio.